Hello, my name is Winston Tseng, and I'm with a CDC-funded project at UC Berkeley through PERC, and our project is on building community academic policy partnerships to reduce and eliminate deaf and hard of hearing disparities for preparedness communication. I wanted to just mention, you know, as we started this work, I have one of my colleagues, Donna, who has worked with deaf and hard of hearing, you know, at our center. And also we had a graduate student, Alina Engelman, who is deaf, who have been really intricately involved in this project and very invaluable. And this has been a learning experience for me, traditionally working with immigrant communities and the issues of language. But I'm working with the deaf community, you know, the issues of functional and access needs. If we could serve the hardest to serve, hardest to reach, I hope we can help everybody for emergency communication. A little bit about our center, Health Research for Action, or empowerment focus. We have over 20 years experience designing communication relevant to issues of literacy, language, culture, and more, and we do participatory design and research in our work. The project has four main aims, and today I'm going to just focus on aim one, which is looking at national recommendations on emergency preparedness communication for deaf and hard of hearing. For our project, we also look at older adults, but I'm going to focus on the deaf and hard of hearing today. First of all, we convene a national advisory board in terms of key stakeholders. And then a part of that is also examining emergency operations plans for states across all 50 states, DC, and 8 territories. And we also interviewed preparedness directors in each of the states. The impetus for our project was we looked at the Department of Homeland Security's 2006 plan, looking at EOPs, and which interviewed over 1,000 people nationally. And the term deaf appeared only 8 times in the entire report. There's no consistent definition of special needs used. And only a few states, 5%, address requirements for populations with special needs in their emergency operations plans. And there was a recommendation that there's a need for participation of people with diverse abilities and of community organizations in planning, training, and preparedness exercises from the report. So in follow-up to that, you know, we looked at the literature and we saw there's a lack of information on national and state guidelines for emergency communication for deaf and hard of hearing. Clearly there's a lack of research in this area, and also a lack of research on organizational and inter-organizational factors that promote emergency preparedness capacity serving deaf and hard of hearing populations. There's over 36 million deaf and hard of hearing individuals across the U.S. They have higher risk for injury, health, and property loss. Ineffective communication has been a key problem. We've talked about Katrina and other things. You know, this is clearly an issue for deaf and hard of hearing. And I wanted to also mention older adults because there's a connection there. Looking at demographics of deaf and hard of hearing, we could see, you know, the percentage of persons who self-report as deaf and hard of hearing by age groups. On the blue is those who are deaf, and then the red bars is those who have a lot of trouble hearing, and then the green bar is those that have a little trouble hearing. So we could see with age the connections of the deaf and hard of hearing, especially with older adults, the connection there. Also, thinking about demographics for the elderly, the prevalence of deaf and hard of hearing among persons 70 to 79 years old and 80 and over, you know, this is clearly a cross-cutting issue for deaf and older adults. Some of the key collaborators on our project, there's local community-based organizations in San Francisco Bay Area where our project is based, as well as a community advisory board for deaf and hard of hearing older adults. But I'm going to focus on our work with the National Advisory Board with the deaf and hard of hearing for this project. Oops. So we connected with deaf community leaders across the country to serve in the following areas, thinking about preparedness, communications issues, you know, out there for their communities, advice about our research design and our results, and recommending ways to really think about this at a national level, but also at a local level. And also help us review some of their products, and also, you know, we are currently in discussion and writing of recommendations with the National Advisory Board in areas of communication training and materials and policy and regulation. We convened 3 meetings so far over our project, including one in CDC in November at their headquarters last year. In terms of convening a National Advisory Board meeting, we really needed to think about issues of communication and what types of communication and how to have a meeting with the hearing community and those who are deaf together in a room. There are inherent issues of the style of communication and also in terms of what types of communication needs there are. In this case, at our National Advisory Board, I mean, our first one, you know, there was ASL translation, but there's also different aspects. And I think I just wanted to highlight in terms of at our CDC meeting, that really opened their eyes. CDC has, you know, special experts on content areas, and we try to work with them over 3 months to plan a meeting there. And it took some time because we actually needed 4 types of communication capacities to have all of us to communicate in the room, including cards. And there's a number of other issues. So I'm just learning about the inherent communication needs that are important to ensure all of us are able to speak at the table. And we continue to, you know, connect with CDC, with their division, their PERC program, to kind of communicate those issues. And it also, there are cost elements besides the communication needs. But also, you know, they're also starting to move forward on addressing some of these issues pertaining to deaf communities. So maybe that's our biggest success so far on this project. And then I just wanted to mention, in terms of emergency operations plans, these are some of our, we looked at 55 emergency operations plans out of the 59 states, territories, and DC. Amongst those, we saw that 55% mentioned some special risk in the EOP populations, and 31% mentioned deaf and hard of hearing in the EOP. You know, this is a substantial improvement from the 2006 Homeland Security report, and clearly there's a ways to go. We also looked at state and territorial, you know, conducted key informant interviews with 50 state and territory interviews, including 47 states, 2 territories, and D.C. And some of the domains we looked at, including organizational demographics, familiarity with communication issues for deaf and hard of hearing, education for the clients, barriers for communication, strategies for improving communication, also presence and absence of services for communication, suggestions for EOP revisions to further information on deaf and hard of hearing, partnerships and relationships with deaf and hard of hearing organizations, and also model programs addressing communication for deaf and hard of hearing. Some of the findings suggest, you know, 85% of the key informants said local, their states, local governments provide some disability services for deaf and hard of hearing. when we asked about, you know, if the State Department provides training to staff, 52% said they did for deaf and hard of hearing. And when we asked them if the states have a commission for the deaf, this is from the State of Illinois survey, a national survey, 37% of the states mentioned there was a commission for the deaf and hard of hearing in their state. And it's looking at the questions, we asked them, you know, how familiar are you with communications issues with deaf hard of hearing? So 50% said they were familiar or very familiar. And then we asked how familiar, more specifically, you know, are you able to accept relay calls to and from deaf and hard of hearing person? 50% said they're not at all familiar. So, and then we asked about compared to other populations your state serves, how prepared is your state to serve deaf and hard of hearing populations during emergencies? So 35% said they were prepared or very prepared. So when we probed a little bit more detailed, you know, there was a little bit of contradiction in their responses, as you can see here. But, you know, it's also helping them raise awareness of these issues as well. I think there were anecdotally some of the key informants shared with us that, you know. And then we also did some analysis looking at associations across some of our questions. So the key informant for the state's familiarity with communications issues with deaf and hard of hearing, and also their familiarity with how to make relay phone calls, you know, really make an impact on how much actually the state departments really have capacity, including training for the staff on deaf and hard of hearing emergency issues, as well as staff's participation in the external trainings. We also looked at the state demographics in the relation to some of the issues. So, you know, the percent of the state population that is deaf and hard of hearing makes a difference for the state departments with familiarity with communication issues with deaf and hard of hearing. Having local governments provide services, having, you know, local governments, and also the state seeking advice from deaf and hard of hearing organizations. And then we asked the KI some of the findings in terms of, you know, where, you know, in the EOP would you address these issues that you haven't addressed so far? And some of the areas, ESF 6 and 2, and also ESF 8 are some of the areas, mass shelter, communication and public health medical services, some of the areas they suggested. And the next steps, you know, we updated the knowledge about EOPs at a national level. We highlighted the value, you know, working with communities really makes a difference to make things happen. And also there was a lot of co-learning, you know, UC Berkeley, you know, also with the deaf community and also CDC, you know, we really connected and have a new level of understanding with each other to address function and access needs. And also further trust and collaboration with CDC through this project. So I want to thank CDC Preparedness and Emergency Response Research Center's program for our funding. So I'll stop here.